Okay, today's daf is Chulin daf Chavav, the very last daf of the first parak of Maseches Chulin. Today's shir is dedicated to Zeichen Nishmas Tzvi Hirsch ben Harav Shraga Leib Zichrono Levracha, whose yard site is today. So we are holding in daf Chav Hei on the Beis. We are at the Mishnah in daf Chav Hei on the Beis. Says the Mishnah, Hatem is again, we're continuing in these Mishnayos of that which is Shaykh by this is not Shaykh by that, and that which is Shaykh by that is not Shaykh by this. So says the Mishnah, Hatemed, if you have Temed, Temed is like a grape sediment that they would mix in with water, and then the water would take on the flavor of wine. So the question is that we're dealing with is, does this temet have the din of wine, or does it have the din of water? And there are many nafkaminas whether something counts as wine or counts as water. Two of the important nafkaminas is what kind of effect it has on a mikvah, and also whether it's chayiv and maisro, so whether you can purchase it with ma'os maisro, with kesef maisro sheni. When you have kesef maisro sheni, you can buy wine with it, but you cannot buy water with it. When it comes to pasuling a mikvah, so water, mayim she'uvim will pasul a mikvah if it does not yet have 40 sa'ah. 3 lug of mayim she'uvim will pasul a mikvah, but 3 lug of yayin will not pasul a mikvah. So these are the issues, and there are other issues that are nafkaminas also between water and wine, but these are the two primarily that the Mishnah is going to deal with. Now, before we even get into the Mishnah and the particular halachos of the Mishnah, Rashi points out that the way this Mishnah works when it compares that which is shaykh by this is not shaykh by that is somewhat different than all of the preceding Mishnayos that are in a similar style. Rashi points out, the reason that this Mishnah is mentioned over here is mishum de dam yalahanach de la'el, because it's similar to the previous Mishnayos that we've learned. Ella, the only difference is the ad hashta ayri bitarti mili. Up until now, we've been comparing two different things. V'davra noeg b'zu, eno noeg b'zu. That which is noeg on one thing, on the shkedim amarim, let's say, is not noeg by the shkedim ha-mesukim, and vice versa. But we're comparing two different items, and the halachos that apply to one don't apply to the other. Umei hashta mayri b'chadamilsa. But now, in this Mishnah, we take one item, and we just discuss different possibilities of what happens with that one item. V'yesh b'chiluk prakim. There are different times where the item will go through some sort of metamorphosis, some sort of change, where we say, well, at this stage it's going to have this halacha, and at the next stage it's going to have a different halacha. So, it's all about the time. At a certain time, one halacha is going to be knowing, not the other, and at a different time, another halacha is going to be knowing, and not this one. So that's the difference between this Mishnah and all of the preceding Mishnayos. So let's see what the Mishnah has to say. Hatemed atchlo hichmitz, before it's actually machmitz, before it actually turns into wine flavor, the water is actually flavored as wine and tastes like wine. Einu nikach b'kesef meiser, so then you can't use meiser sheni money to buy it, because before it tastes like wine, it still has a din of water. Uposel es a mikvah, and if it has a din of water, it's mayim she'uvin, and 3 lug would pasel a mikvah. Obviously, it would pasel a mikvah only if the mikvah does not yet have 40 sa'ah. That's the ha'ara Tosfos makes. Hainu mikvah chaser, avol shalem einu nifsel b'shumin, keep rashmi parakam achras abayis. If the mikvah was shalem, then obviously nothing would affect it. Putting all the mayim shuvim you want in it is not going to affect it. It's only if the mikvah was chaser. But either way, that's a major difference between wine and water. Misha hichmitz, once, however, it's already hichmitz, and it already tastes like wine, already looks like wine, it already has the status of wine. Nikach b'kesef meiser ve'eino posel sa mikvah. So this is two stages in the temed. At first it's not hichmitz, so it still has din of water, and then once it's hichmitz, it takes on the status of wine, so you could use your meiser sheni money to buy it, and it won't pass the mikvah because it has a din of wine. Period. Next issue of that which is nogea to one isn't nogea to the other. Ha'achin ha'shutfin kishachayavin bekelbon p'turin mi'maiser behema kishachayavin maiser behema p'turin min ha'kelbon. So there's basically the following halachas are important to realize. What we're discussing now is at what stage brothers have a status of shutfin, and at what stage they have the status of just being representatives of the same person. Meaning when a person dies, his estate is still considered on some level his estate. And as long as there's, even if he has multiple sons, and they're each going to Yarsh in different parts in some way, but at first, before they make a chalukah, it's still one estate. and it's not yet considered a shutfus. When they then divide the estate, and you know, and then say, you know what, let's be shutfim. So at that point, after the division, when they decide again to become shutfim, then they're just regular shutfim. It's not considered one estate anymore. Then it's a shutfus between two independent people. L'may nafkamina, whether it's one estate being held by two sons, or there are two shutfim. So two nafkaminas that the Mishnah discusses. Number one is the chiyuv of kalbon, which as Rashi points out over here, that the chiyuv means that when they bring your shekel, when you give your machsa shekel, it wasn't enough to just give your shekel. You would have to add a little bit of an extra sort of a surcharge, just in case the shekel was missing, was chaser in any way. So you added a little bit extra. You would add this little bit of kalbon. But generally speaking, when it was one per person, you only had to add a kalbon if it was one per person. So if you look at Rashi, kishchayavim bekalbon p'turim meiser behema, and the halakha Meiser Behema, should point out, is that if they're two shutfim, so then there's no chiv of Meiser Behema. The chiv of Meiser Behema is only on a behema that's owned individually, not if it's owned by shutfim. Whereas the chiv of kalbon is just the opposite. That if it's owned, we'll see Rashi right now. If the brothers divided the estate and then they went back into a shutfus, when they bring their shkalim, they have to bring two half shkalim, v'nosen shtei kalbonos, and each one has to give a separate kalbon. V'akalbon u'lashon hechra shechayav na'achriya shekleyen, it's that which is mashlim, that makes up, that guarantees that your shekel is a shekel, that your half shekel is a real half shekel. V'nosen bo shneim shekel shalem, nosen shtei kalbonos sheyelen lishkal ha'chatzain. If they together decide to give one shekel from the estate, so to speak, even because it's no longer considered a single estate, they each have to give their own kalbon, but it's pater from Meiser Behema because they have a din of shutfin. So when they have a din of shutfin, they're considered two separate people who happen to have a shutfus. When you have a shutfus, you each are chayiv in your own surcharge of the machsa shekel. But when you have a shutfus, you're pater from Meiser Behema, as Rashi points out. Any animal that's born during the time of the shutfus is pater from Meiser Behema, v'b'choros perek basra yiyah lecha v'lo shel shutfus. Why should that be the case? Why is that fair? It doesn't matter if it's fair. That's the pasuk. We dodge it from a pasuk that a behema shel shutfim is pater from Meiser Behema. V'asa mukile lehaikra b'meiser v'alfagav de b'b'choros ksiv. Now it happens to be that pasuk is about b'choros, and the b'chor has a different status slightly than Meiser Behema. They both have to be brought as a carbon, but one is given to a kohen and one could be eaten by the bailim itself. But nevertheless, we still are able to somehow darshan it in relation to Meiser Behema, even though it's really about a Bechor. So again, that's the second halach in this Mishnah, that if you have brothers who are Shutfin, if they are Chayiv Bekelbon, meaning that they have a din of Shutfin, then they're Pater for Meiser Behema. But Kishachayavin by Meiser Behema, if they're Chayiv in Meiser Behema, means that they don't have a din of shutfin, that they still have never divided the estate, that it's still considered one estate in one holding. They just happen to be the two people who are running that estate. So they would not be they would be chayiv meiser behema because there's no shutfus, but they would be patur min hakalbon since they're considered a single unit. Fine. So says the Gemara now, focusing on the first part of the Mishnah, where we said that temet, it all depends whether it's hichmitz or not hichmitz. Before it's hichmitz, it's water. Once it's hichmitz, it's wine. So says the Gemara, our Mishnah seems to be against both Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanon. Why? Detanya metamid v'nasan mayim b'mida u'matza k'dei midaso pater. Let's say you had a certain amount of grape sediment that you then put, let's say, exactly 1 gallon of water in to mix in and take some of the flavor of the grape, of the wine, and then you soak out, you drain out all the grape sediment, and you're left with exactly 1 gallon of liquid that looks like wine now. So what's the halacha? So the Tanakhama says that if you take out exactly what you put in, it's going to be pata from maestros, because obviously there's no wine in there. It's exactly what you put in. You took out. You put in water. You took out water. Rabbi Yehuda mechayiv, and Rabbi Yehuda says that you're chayiv and meiser because the whole thing has the status of wine. Why? He assumes that some of the water got soaked into the sediment and some of the sediment migrated into the wine. So the whole thing has the status of wine. So money. So who's the author of our Mishnah? Our Mishnah just says hichmitz, lo hichmitz. So I Rabbanon, afu gav the hichmitz. If you're assuming like the Rabbanon, well, I don't care if it was hichmitz. If it's the same amount of water that you put in, that you're taking out, so then it's all water. It doesn't matter if it was hichmitz or not. I Rabbi Yehuda, afu gav the lo hichmitz. And if we're assuming like Rabbi Yehuda, even if it's not hichmitz, the bottom line is, it's we assume that some of the flavor of the grape sediment migrated into the water, and it no longer has a din of water, it has a din of peros. So why should it matter whether it's hichmitz or not hichmitz? Neither Rabbi Yehuda nor the Rabbanan make this issue dependent on whether it's hichmitz or not hichmitz. So the Gemara is going to have two approaches to answer this question. So it says the Gemara, number one is over here, and number two is going to be about six, 7 lines before the end of Chavav HaMeralf. So number one, Amar of Nachman or Amar Rabba Baravua, Bisha hichmitz machlokas. Really, the whole machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan is assuming that it was hichmitz. It assumes that it tastes like wine, it looks like wine, it has the complete flavor of wine. That's where the Rabbanan are going to say, yeah, but bottom line is, if you put in X amount of water and that's how much you took out, I don't care that it tastes and looks like wine, it's still only going to be considered water. And Rabbi Yehuda is going to say, no, it really is wine. That's where the machlokas is. Umasnisin, Rabbi Yehuda, and our Mishnah is assuming, like the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, as the Rashi points out, b'shichmitz machlokas avul b'shalo hichmitz. Then Rabbi Yehuda's moda delav piruhu. Rabbi Yehuda will be moda that when it's not hichmitz, it wouldn't be considered a pri. V'rabbanan afil b'shichmitz pligi. The Rabbanan think that even if it's hichmitz, it's only considered water. So when our Mishnah says that it's dependent on hichmitz or not hichmitz, so that's going like Rabbi Yehuda. That Rabbi Yehuda would hold that when it's hichmitz, if you put in the same amount of water that you took out, it's going to have a status of wine. If it's low hichmitz and you put in the same amount of water that you took out, it will have the status of water. So v'chein amar Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina b'shichmitz machlokas, and that is exactly what Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina said as well, that the whole machlokas is only if hichmitz. Va'amar Rav Nachman amar Rabbi Arvua, and Rav Nachman amar Rabbi Arvua had a different statement, also relating to Temed, but this statement we're going to see is not going to help us with our Mishnah so much. The Gemara is going to use this as a kasha on our Mishnah. Rav Nachman Amar Baravua said, Temed shalachu bekesef meiser, ulu besof hichmitz, kana meiser. What if you purchase Temed with meiser sheni money? So he said, you're only allowed to do that if it has a din of wine. When does it have a din of wine? Only if it's hichmitz. So what if you buy it before it's hichmitz, before it really seems like wine, and then after you purchase it, it turns into wine. So the halacha is kana meiser. That's good. It's fine because at the end of the day, it showed my time. What's the reason for this? It became evident that the entire time it was really a pri. It was really wine. It wasn't water. So elamas nisin de katani hichmitz in lo hichmitz lo. But wait a second. Why in our Mishnah do we say that you're only allowed to buy this temed, this wine with, or this might be wine with Meister Sheni money, if it's hichmitz, not if it's not hichmitz? You're not allowed to buy it if it wasn't hichmitz. What do you mean? Dilma ishafke hava machmitz. Maybe you just leave it for a little bit longer and it will be machmitz, and therefore we shouldn't shy away from buying it with Meister Sheni money, even though right now it's not yet hichmitz, but once it is hichmitz, it's going to be fine. So that's a bit of a strange question, because what do you mean? Maybe it won't be hichmitz. I mean, we would certainly understand that one would be cautious and not want to buy the product with Meister Sheni money, because yes, if it's hichmitz, it will turn out that all will be well in the end. But if it's not hichmitz in the end, then it won't turn out that all will be well. So the Gemara is assuming, Rashi points out, the Gemara is assuming when we say that it's dafka, when the Mishnah says hichmitz in, lo hichmitz lo, that if it's not hichmitz, you're not supposed to buy it, that the Mishnah is not just telling me that you're not supposed to buy it with Meiser Sheni money, but the Mishnah is assuming that it's, as Rashi says, that it's not even a valid purchase. In Rashi, Dibra Maslal Masis and Dukhtani, lo hichmitz ein nikach bekesef Meiser umashma, The implication of the Mishnah is, and Rashi has to add this because from the Mishnah itself, we don't really see the kasha. Okay, of course the Mishnah is going to discourage buying something that's not yet hechmetz because you don't know what the future is going to bring. So Rashi says, no, umashma, the implication is, de'ina l'kicha v'adamim kadoshim b'yad amocher, that it's a completely invalid purchase of Meiser Sheni money, and therefore the money still has the status of Meiser Sheni money and still has to be treated as such. Normally, if I have Meiser Sheni money and I go buy food in Yerushalayim, so the person I buy my food from is allowed to use that money for whatever he wants to use it for. It's no longer Meiser Sheni money. The food I bought with it takes on the status of Meiser Sheni. But over here, the way the Gemara is understanding the Mishnah is that even after I purchase the food, the money still has the status of Meiser Sheni money because we don't think this food is going to be Meiser Sheni. So how can you? Why do we assume that that's the case, though? After all, if it's hichmetz later on, then it should be valid, at least b'diavad. So answers the Gemara, two answers. Number one, Amar Rabba k'shashir mimenu b'kos v'lo hichmetz. Maybe we're talking about where you left a little bit of the original temed in a cup, and it wasn't hichmetz, and therefore you know that the money that was paid was invalid. I mean, you don't have the rest of it in front of you anymore, but a little bit you left over, and from that little bit you can tell that it wasn't hichmetz, and mimela you know that the money still retained its kedushas ma'aser sheni. Rava Amar, Rava says no. Hamani Rabbi Yochanan ben Nurihi. Maybe we're assuming like the shita of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, when the Mishnah says that before it's hichmetz, apostles of mikvah, and it can't be bought with kesef meiser, even though we seem to be saying it's a pri. So we're assuming like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, meaning even though we assume it's going to be that it's a glei muslim afrei, that it was a pri the whole time, if later on it's hichmitz, that's still assuming like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. That's okay because we're assuming like Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Why? What does Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri say? Tetanan, we have the following Mishnah. Gimel lugin mayim chaser kortov. Let's say you have almost 3 lug of mayim, but not quite, and then a little bit of wine falls into the almost 3 lugin of mayim and is mashlim to 3 lugin. So you have 2.9 lugin of water and 1 lug of yayin. Umar ayin kamari yayin, and the entire mixture now looks like wine. The color of the wine was strong enough that it colors the whole 3 lug of water. V'naflu l'mikvah, and then that 3 lug falls into the mikvah. Says the Tanakama, lo pasluhu, does not pasul the mikvah, meaning it doesn't have the effect that 3 lugin of mayim would have on the mikvah. One might have argued the 2.9 lug of mayim should be mevatel the yayin should therefore become part of the mayim, and therefore you have 3 lug of mayim, but says the Mishnah that no, it does not have a din of 3 lug of mayim, and therefore it does not passel the mikvah. The reason is, Rashi points out, Rashi first gives one whole explanation and then five lines into Dibur Maskel V'Hachanami, he says, V'libi Mahases, you know, I'm going to back out on this explanation a little bit, I'll give you a different explanation. And he writes, V'nira Be'enai Derava Chaser Kort of Tani Bereisha, Umishim Deleka Shi'ura Ka'amar Tanakama Lo Pasluhu. The reason that it doesn't pass all the mikvah is because you didn't have 3 lug of mayim. It's not because the whole thing now has the status of yayin, just because it's colored as yayin. No, it's considered 2.9 lug of mayim and 0.1 lug of yayin. It's not considered 3 lug of yayin. That's certainly not the case, right? It's just that it's just not enough mayim to pasul. Gimel lug and mayim chaser kortav. What if you have 3 lug of mayim minus a little bit? Shenafel l'tochan kortav chalav. Umarein kemara mayim. And now the whole thing looks like water. V'nafel mikvah and falls into a mikvah. Lo pasluhu. It doesn't pasul it. Why does it? Again, same reason. At the end of the day, you simply don't have enough water to pasul. You have partial, but part of this 3 lug is chalav. That's the Tanakama, but says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer Hakol Holech Achar Amare, that it all depends on what it looks like, and therefore, if you have 2.9 lug of mayim when there's a little bit 0.1 lug of yayin, and it all looks like yayin, it all has a din of yayin, and that's why it's not going to pass on the mitvah. But 0.1 lug of chalav falls into the 2.9 lug of mayim, and it all looks like mayim, then it will passel the mikveh. It all depends on what it looks like. So lavam Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, lavam Rabbi Yochanan basar chazusaz linan. So don't we see that Rabbi Yochanan holds you go with what it looks like? Hachanami zil basar chazusa. So over here as well, we should say that it all depends on what it looks like, and therefore the time of a chazusa dahai. Mayaninhu, the taste and the look of it is water. So therefore, it's going to have a din of water. So again, what was the kasha? We said, but after all, it might be machmitz later on. So shouldn't we say that maybe the meiser sheni money should have been transferred and no longer considered meiser sheni money? Because if it turns out that it's machmitz later on, then it turns out to be a valid purchase with the meiser sheni money. No, according to Rabbi Yochanan Nuri, it all depends on what it looks like at the time of purchase. If it was not yet hichmetz at the time of purchase, it is water. It looks like water, it tastes like water, it is water. The fact that it later is going to change doesn't really matter. It doesn't make a difference. So that's the shita of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is assuming that it all depends on what it looks like at that moment. Okay, this was all one approach, starting with Rav Nachman Amar Bar Avuah on the last line of Chaf Hei Amud Beis, who said that this whole machlokas, just to back up to again gain clarity, we had a machlokas Rav Yehuda and the Rabbanan, if you take temet and you put water in, a gallon of water in, you take exactly a gallon of flavored water out, what's the status of that gallon of flavored water? The Tanakama had said that it's considered water, it's pater from meiser. Rabbi Yehuda said it's considered yayin, it's chayiv in meiser. So Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Bar Avuah said that whole machlokas is assuming it was hichmitz. But if it was not hichmitz, then everyone would agree it's going to be considered to be water and not yayin. So says the Gemara, that comment, that understanding of the machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, is against Rabbi Elazar. Upliga de Rabbi Elazar, Rav Nachman Amar Rabba Ravua's understanding, the machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan, is at odds with Rabbi Elazar. Da Amar Rabbi Elazar, Hakol Modim She'in Mafrishin Olav Mimakom Acher, Ela Im Kein Hichmitz. Everyone agrees that you would not be able to be mafrish Trumos and Maestros on this Yayin from other Yayin unless it was Hichmitz. So what does that sound like? Kasavar below Hichmitz Machlokas. Sounds like the whole Machlokas is when it was non-Hichmitz, which is the exact opposite of Nachman Amar Bar Avuah. Rav Nachman Amar Bar Avuah said the whole Machlokas and Rabbanan is when it's Hichmitz, and even then the Rabbanan said it's still water, we don't care that it was Hichmitz. But now, Rabbi Lazar's understanding, the whole Machlokas is Kishalo Hichmitz. And even then, Rabbi Yehuda would say it has a din of yayin. So kasavar below hichmitz machlokas, that the whole machlokas is when it was not hichmitz. Va'ad kan lo mechayev Rabbi Yehuda elamine ubei. What does Rabbi Yehuda mean? It has a din of yayin when it was low hichmitz. It's low hichmitz. How can you call that yayin? He calls it yayin l'chumra. He doesn't say it's an absolute yayin. For instance, if you have 10 barrels of wine, you don't have to take from each barrel Trumas and Maestros. You could take the proper amount of Trumas and Maestros from one barrel to cover all of the others. But what if you have one barrel of this kind of not really wine, the temed wine, the wine that you made by mixing water with the temed. So and then you have another barrel of pure wine. So can you take Trumas and Maestros from the pure wine to cover the temed, or vice versa on the temed to cover the pure wine? So says Rabbi Yehuda, when it's low hichmitz, even I agree that the temet is not really wine in terms of that you could take trumas and maestros from one on the other. Even I would agree that on that level it's considered water. Elamaya machmir, that you have to take trumas and maestros from it. But you better take it from it and not from somewhere else on it. Because you can't take minachayev alapater, minapater alachayev. You have to take from it itself. Minayube, you have to take it. Aval me'alma lo, but to take it from somewhere else, absolutely not. Because that runs the risk of being mafrish from the chiv al pater from pater al chiv. So even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that when it's low hichmitz, even though he thinks it's considered wine partially in terms of the fact that it's chayv in shumas maestros, he would hold that you cannot be mafrish mimakom acher. So that is the fundus. So basically, in the summary of Amud Aleph over here is we have a machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan whether temet as a din of yayin or a din of mayim, and a machlokas amarayim between Rav Nachman and Rav Lazar, what that machlokas is about. Is that machlokas about temet that was hichmet or temet that was lo hichmet? Fine, and that's the end of the story. Tan Rabban says the Brisa, Hatemed al ad shelo hichmitz, mashiko b'mayim. There's one other nafkamina la'alacha between water and wine that we didn't discuss in our Mishnah, and that is that if water becomes tameh, you can make it tahar by doing what we call hashaka in a mikveh, by putting it into the mikveh and putting it in a kli, dipping the kli into the mikveh and having the top of the kli sort of be even with the top surface of the mikveh, so it says if you tovel that water in the mikveh, the water can become tahar. Wine you can't do that with. So, says the Brisa, if you have temed before it's hichmitz, it could still be, you could still do ashaka with it. Meaning, it's still water. Misha hichmitz, once it's hichmitz, ein mashika b'mayim. Well, then you can't do ashaka with it because it has a din of wine at that point. This whole discussion is only if the you made the temed originally with tahar water that then became tameh. Aval tameh meikara lo. But if it was tameh water originally, then you cannot do hashaka with it anymore. Now, what is the explanation? Why would there be a difference? Either way, if it has a din of water, you should be able to do hashaka with it. Meaning, if it's not hichmitz, it's water, you should be able to do hashaka with it. So there are five explanations in the Rishonim and Achronim that they collect here in the Biurei Adaf. We'll go through one or two of them maybe. Tosos explains that Rav understands that only when the shmarim became tameh together with the water does hashaka help, but if the mayim became tameh originally bifnei atzman, the hashaka is not going to help with the shmarim. The hashaka has to happen by itself. Meaning, for anything that became tameh by itself, you need hashaka by itself. So if the water became tameh independently, it was already tameh by the time you mixed it with the temed, with the yayin. So it's not that hashaka doesn't work. Hashaka does work, but you need to do hashaka on the water independently. The only problem is there's no way to do that anymore because now it's mixed with the yayin. That's how Tosfos understands. The Ramban and the Ran explain that Rava understood that if you took mayim tahorim and you made it into temed and it became tameh before it was hichmitz, since the mayim and the peros became tameh together and it's completely considered water, the yayin is batel inside the water, even though the peros are tsaf lamala, as the Gemara is about to say, the water is considered heavier and the peros are always going to float toward the top, the hashaka is going to work like a din of mayim because even the peros have a din of mayim since it was never hichmitz. But if you made the temet with mayim that's tameh, so since the water independently was tameh and then you mixed it with peros and the peros were not tameh, hashaka is not going to work because the water is heavier and is assumed to be on the lower part. Hashaka is the top surface of the liquid touching the top surface of the mikvah. Well, then that top surface has to be the tameh part. If you want to be mitired, the top surface has to be the tameh part. But if the water was tameh beforehand already, and then you mixed it with temed that was not tameh, so then the top surface is going to be the non-tameh part. So that's going to be a problem. That's not going to work, say the Ramban and the Ran. If the water was tahar beforehand, and then once it was already mixed with the wine, the whole thing became tameh, so all of it became tameh. So I don't care what's on the top surface. It's all tameh, so the hashaka is going to work on all of it. That's how the Ramban and the Ran understand that line of the Gemara. So anyway, so says the Gemara, Azal Rav Gavia, Mibei Kasi Lamru Lushmaita Kameda Rav Ashi. So you're saying this statement of Rava over in front of Rav Ashi. He says, Maishna Tamei Mei Kara Delo. He says, well, wait a second. Why, when the water is originally Tamei, does Hashaka not work? Damrinan Aidi Demaya Yikiri Shachni Tasayu Pira Kafi Mila El. We say that since water is heavier, so it goes down to the bottom, and the peros are lighter, and therefore they float toward the top. Velo Kasalkalu Hashaka Lamayan. Therefore, you don't have Hashaka on Mayim. You're really having Hashaka with peros, but hashaka doesn't work on peros. Hashaka only works on mayim, so it's not good to have the fruit part going to the top, the yayim going to the top. So frankly, Mar ihachi toral b'sof nitmunami. So shouldn't that be the same? Shouldn't the same thing be true if it was tahar water that later became tamei? At the end of the day, the mitzius is that what's coming to the top is the yayin. It's not the water, and hashaka doesn't work on yayin. So rather, he says he disagrees with Rava. He says, no, it all mixes together. It's all considered one unit, and therefore it doesn't make a difference which one became whether the water became tame before it was mixed, water becomes tame after it was mixed. Either way, it's all considered one unit. That's the machlokas between Rava and Rav Ashi. Okay, weiter, next Mishnah. When dealing with a young girl, so the father has the right to sell his daughter if he wants, the father also, if the daughter gets raped, he gets the knas payment. He receives the knas payment. So our Mishnah tells me, as long as the girl is at the age where the father is allowed to sell her, so if she's netinas or nispata, the father does not yet get a knas payment, because the knas payment is only paid if someone is ma'anis or mafata a na'ara. If she's not yet at the stage of narus, she's still a katana, so that means the father's still allowed to sell her. He's allowed to sell her when she's a katana, but he does not yet receive on her behalf, and no one receives on her behalf a knas payment. Knas is only when she's a nara. So once she does receive a knas payment, meaning she's a nara, well, at that age, she's already lost the ability to be mocher her, because the mechira ends after she's no longer at the stage of katana. Narus happens when she's 12 years old and she has shtei saros. So that's when 6 months of narus begins, and then she becomes a bogeris. But already at the stage of Nairus, he loses the right to sell her. Rashi points out in the Gemara in Eruchin, why does he lose the right to sell her when she becomes a Nara? Because it's Kavachomer. Had he sold her when she was a Katana, the halacha is that she's Yotze Bisimani Narus. She goes free when she becomes a Nara. So obviously, if she's a Nara, he can't sell her the Charchila. Even if the sale was already happened beforehand, she'd be Yotze Bisimani Narus. Amar Rav Yudam Rav, Zudiv Rav Meir. This is the sheet of Rav Meir. The Chachamim say that there is some overlap. There is a stage in her life where she can be sold by her father and still receive Knas. What is that stage? Titania, we have a price that records the Machlokas. Kitanim Basio Mechalat Shtavi Beisaros, Yeshla Mechar Vein Laknas, Mishtavi Beisaros, Achis Bagger, Yeshla Knas Vein Lamechar Div Rav Meir. That's like our Mishnah. That Rav Meir in our Mishnah says that from the stage that she's very young, from the stage that she's one day old until Shtei Saros, so she's a Kitana, she can be sold, but there's no Knas. From the time she has Shtei Saros until she becomes a Bugeres, so there is Knas, but she cannot be sold. Exactly like our Mishnah. V'chachamim omrim, but the chacham say, no, ketanim ibas gimul shon v'yom echadat sheyisbager, yesh l'knas. She already gets knas payments from the time she's 3 years old. So the father's obviously still allowed to sell her for a 9-year period after she's 3 years old. So knas in, mecha lo, what do you mean to say? She gets knas, but there's no mecha? The father's not allowed to sell her already starting at 3? No, of course not. Ema af knas, b'makom mecher, the chacham mold that there's an overlap, that that these two halachos are not mutually exclusive, not mutually independent of each other. Now, some sofer says, wait a second, every other Mishnah that we had, where we had, if you say this, whatever applies by this doesn't apply by that, we always started asking with a kal v'chomer. We said, well, why don't we say it if ask some sofer, why don't we say the following kal v'chomer? If we say kal v'chomer that yesh knas b'makom mecher as follows, that ma b'makom she'in mecher yesh knas, if in a situation where he can't sell her when she's in Ara, she does get knas, so b'makom she'yesh mecher, ain't no din she'ye knas. So all the more so, when he can sell her, there should be a din of knas. And even if you say, no, Rav Meir learns from a pasuk that b'makom she'yesh mecher ein knas, so the Gemara, every other halacha was also learned from pasuk. So the Gemara should have asked it and then said, no, no, there's a pasuk that tells me that it's otherwise, that it's not so. Why don't we ask this kal v'chomer? So someone just points out that there is no kal v'chomer to ask over here, because logically it makes no sense. Meaning, if the father is able to sell her kal v'chomer that if she's mefuta that you'd be paying knas, what shaychus does one have to do with the other? What does a knas payment on a mefuta have anything to do with the father's ability to sell her? Meaning, when it came to, let's say, if a kli charis could be metame mitocho, and it can't be metame migabo, so kal v'chomer, kli matechis, it could be metame migabo, should be able to be metame mitocho. The logic was that if you look at Kli Cheres, the fact that it could be Matai Mitocho, not Migabo, tells you that Tuma is much more transferable Mitocho than it is Migabo. So you're going to say, good, so by Kli Matechas, that could be Matai Migabo, it's a Kal V'chomer, that if Tuma is even more transferable Mitocho, then it should work Mitocho. The Kal V'chomer made some logical sense. But what does Knas have anything to do with Mecher? It doesn't make sense to have a Kal V'chomer. They have no relationship to each other. So that's what Chassam Sofer explains. It doesn't make sense to even ask that there's a Kal V'chomer. How do we pass over here Machlokes Rav Meir and the Chachamim? So the Ravid and Rabbeinu Chananel will pass like Rav Meir that there's no Knas for a Katana because it's a Stam Mishnah like Rav Meir. However, several other Rishonim, the Rif, the Rush, the Meiri, Yamshel Shlomo, even Paskin like the Chachamim because it's Yachad V'Rabim, so you're going to Paskin like the Chachamim against Rav Meir. So that's the Machlokes Rishonim. Okay, Vayter, next Mishnah. When a girl doesn't have a father and her mother and brother have the right midrabanan to marry her off to somebody, a father has the right midaraisa to give over his young daughter for kiddushin, but midrabanan, if she doesn't have a father, her mother and brother have the right to do that. However, she has the right to do what's called miyun. She has the right to refuse the marriage. So, but she only has that right up until a certain stage. While she's still a ketana, once she's already grown up, she no longer can refuse the marriage. The fact that she stayed with the man, we assume, is her own consent to remain in that marriage. So long that she's at the age where she could still do miyun, she's not yet at the age where she's eligible for chalitza. Essentially, all we're saying over here is a ketana cannot do chalitza, and a ketana and a gedola cannot do miyun. V'kal makom sheish chalitza ein miyun. As long as she's able to do chalitza, she can't do miyun. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Yudom Rav, Zudiv Rav Meir. This Mishnah reflects the Shita of Rabbi Meir, that a Nara cannot do Miyun anymore, that Miyun is only while she's a Ketana. Aval Chachamim Omrim, Yesh Miyun V'makom Chalitza. But the Chachamim say that even a Nara is able to do Miyun. Even after she's a Gedola, she's a Nara, she's still able to do Miyun. Titania, because we have a Braisa that says as follows. That tells us, points out, we really shouldn't bring a Braisa. There's a Beferish Mishnah that says like this. However, the Braisa says explicitly who the Shita is. The Braisa names the Shitas, as opposed to a Mishnah in Maseches Nida that says the same idea without naming it as Reb Meir. So that's why we quote the Braisa. D'tanya an masay abas mima enes, when can a girl do miyun until ad shetavi shtei sa'aros div Reb Meir? Reb Meir holds only until she's maybe shtei saros, meaning only so long as she's still a ketana. When she's an arus, she can no longer do miyun. Rabbi Yudah omer ad sheyirba ashachar al alavan. Rabbi Yudah says no. Even after she's maybe shtei saros, she can still do miyun until she matures to the point physically where it's not just two hairs, but there's more dark than there is light. Which means light is considered the area of skin that has no hair. Dark is the area of skin. It doesn't matter how dark her hair is. Dark is the area of skin that there is hair on. So there's more covered by hair than not covered by hair. So both Rashi and Tosfos point out that that's a very misleading statement, that it doesn't really mean that. That Yirba Shachar al-Alavan, really the Gemara Nida and Daf Nun Beis tells us just means that it's only Shtei Saros, but that the two Saros are Shtei Saros Zokfos, that they are hairs that are long enough to lie down, as opposed to hairs that just protrude up, that aren't long enough to be lying across her skin. So, but it doesn't actually have to be more hair than skin. In fact, Tosla says over here that the proper Girsa is Rashi Anida writes that we're not Gores Al Halavan. It's ad sheyir ba'ashachar, not al halavan, because obviously there's much more clear area than there is area with hairs. It's just ad sheyir ba'ashachar, just means until the hairs grow to a certain extent. That's all it means. Okay, next Mishnah, final Mishnah of the parak. Kol makom sheyish tkiya in havdala. So they used to have a minhag that on Erev Shabbos, and seemingly Erev Yontif as well, Rashi says, in order to let people know when it was time to stop doing malacha, they would blow shofros so that people could hear a tekiah, they would hear a loud tekiah, they would know it's time to stop doing malacha. So what if you have a day of Shabbos and a day of Kodesh that are back-to-back with each other? So the Mishnah says, here's the rule. Whenever there is a tekiah to be maftil the ami malacha, then you're not going to make havdalah between those 2 days in tefillah or alakos. So we'll get to when this is. Kol makom sheyish havdala ain't tekiah. Whenever there's going to be havdala, then you would not do a tekiah. So here it is. Yom Tov Shechalios Pe'erev Shabbos, when Yom Tov falls on a Friday, token, they would blow a tekiah to be maftil to everyone from doing malacha, because there are certain malachas you're allowed to do on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to do on Shabbos, all the Ochel Nefesh malachas, but v'lo mavdilin. You wouldn't need to make a havdalah between the Yom Tov and Shabbos after the Yom Tov is over. B'motzai Shabbos, but if Yom Tov falls out on Sunday, mavdilin. You make a havdalah on Motzai Shabbos when Yom Tov falls out on Sunday, but v'lo token. You don't need a tekiah to be maftil the Yami malacha. They're already not doing malacha from Shabbos. Adrabba, certain malachas become mutter on Motzai Shabbos when Yom Tov is on Sunday. Ketzad Mavdilin, how do you say Avdallah on Motzai Shabbos that is Yom Tov? How do you say Mavdil Ben Kodesh L'Chol? It's not Chol, it's Yom Tov. So Mavdil Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. What you say is Mavdil Ben Kodesh L'Kodesh. Rabbi Dosa Omer, Ben Kodesh Chomer L'Kodesh Hakal. That you actually get more specific. You say they're being Mavdil between a more heavy Kedusha and a lighter Kedusha. Hechi Tokea, how did the Tekiah work? So Rashi points out that what we're asking over here is that in Yom Tov that is Erev Shabbos, when you're Tokea to be Mavdil between Kodesh L'Chol, it has to be different than every other Erev Shabbos because it's a different type of adjustment. On a regular Erev Shabbos, you're adjusting from Mamish Chol Gomor to Kedusha. On Erev Shabbos that happens to be a Yom Tov, you're adjusting from Kedusha to Kedusha. So there's got to be something different about the Tekiah. So Hechi Tokea, what was different about the Tekiah? Amar Rav Yehuda Tokea Moriah Mitoch Tekiah. That there wouldn't be any pause between the Tekiah and the Trua. It would just be one long blast that would go straight from a solid sound into broken up sound. Rav Asi Amar Tokea Moriah B'Neshima Achas. No, the difference is, you're Tokea Moriah B'Neshima Achas. You do have a slight pause. This is the way Rashi understands it at least. You do have a slight pause, but it's all done in one breath. Iskin Rav Asi Buhutzal Kishmaite, and Rav Asi paskind like his teaching, he made a takana that you should do it all b'neshima achas. So Meisvei asked the Gemara, but wait a second, we have a brisa that says Yom Tov Shchalios Perav Shabbos Token V'lo Marian. You blow a tekiah without a true at all. My love, lo Marian Klal, doesn't that imply not a true at all? And therefore, it's against both Rav Asi. And who is the other one? And Rabbi Yehuda, right? It's against both of them because both say you do a trua. It's just a question of how closely associated the trua is to the tekiah. Says Gemara, lo. Rabbi Yehuda mitaritz tamei, Rav Asi mitaritz tamei. Both Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Asi will be mitaritz that the price is going according to them. Rabbi Yehuda mitaritz tamei, lo marim b'fnei atzma ela mitoch hatekiah. You don't do the trua on its own. You do a trua mitoch hatekiah. That's all the price means. Not that you don't do a trua at all. Rav Asi mitaritz tamei, lo marim b'shtei neshimos ela b'neshimachas. When it says you don't do a trua, just means don't do a trua in a separate breath. You do a trua in the same breath as the tekiah. Uba motzai Shabbos, but then the Mishnah said that on motzai Shabbos you don't do a tekiah to be maftel ami malacha, but you do say havdalah. And what's the havdalah? So you say amavdel mikodesh lekodesh. Hechi amala. When do you say amavdel mikodesh lekodesh? At the beginning of the bracha or at the end of the bracha? So I'm Rav Yehuda bechasimasa, only at the end of the bracha. V'chein Amar Rav Nachman bechasimasa. Rav Sheshes Brei Rav Yidi Amar af bipsichasa. That even at the beginning of the bracha, you would say, you would start the bracha, Mavdi ben Kodesh l'Kodesh, ben Ror l'Choshech, ben Yisrael l'Amim. It would already say ben Kodesh l'Kodesh at the beginning. V'leh Silch Sakav say, we don't pask in that way. We assume you start, Mavdi ben Kodesh l'Chol, ben Yisrael l'Amim, Yom HaShuz, Shizim HaMaseh. And then at the end, when you're finishing up the bracha, that's where you say, Mavdi ben Kodesh l'Kodesh. Rabbi Dosom, Rabbi Kodesh Chomer l'Kodesh HaKal, that you'd say the bracha ben Kodesh Chomer l'Kodesh HaKal, as opposed to just ben Kodesh l'Kodesh. V'leh Silch Sakav say, we don't pask in that way either. Amr Abizera, Yom Tov Shchalios Be'emtzo Shabbos. Once we're discussing, well, wait a second, does it make sense to say a Mavdil Ben Kodesh L'Chol on Motzai Shabbos that's going into Yom Tov? It's not Mavdil Ben Kodesh L'Chol. So what are we assuming, obviously? We're assuming that, no, Kodesh Baruch Hu is still the one that's Mavdil Ben Kodesh L'Chol. The beginning of the bracha is just a comment about HaKadosh Baruch Hu being the Mavdil. So he's the one who's Mavdil in Yisrael La'amim Ben Kodesh L'Chol Ben Shabbos and the other days of the week. Good, so that we understand. And then when you're chosim the bracha, you're chosim me'inyan adiyom of what's going on right now with Ben Kodesh HaKodesh. So once we were discussing that, so you mentioned, what about Yom Tov falls out in the middle of the week? So you say Abdullah. So how do you say, Omer Amadu Ben Kodesh HaKol Ben Or L'Choshech Ben Yisrael La'amim Ben Yom HaShvili Sheshimei HaMaseh? You actually say the words, Ben Yom HaShvili Sheshimei HaMaseh. It's Tuesday. What are you saying, Ben Yom HaShvili Sheshimei HaMaseh? So my time, Seder Havdalos Humona. You're just mentioning the various Havdalos that are made. And that's fine to be Mona, the Seder Havdalos. So just the Torah Chaim explains that the reason for Rav Sheshes, where Rav Sheshes says that you say it psichas, you say hamavdil ben kodesh to kodesh even at the psicha the bracha, is because not because he doesn't understand this concept that you could be meshabeach hakodesh baruch hu as the mavdil ben kodesh l'chol even when right now you're not being mavdil ben kodesh l'chol. No, the svar of sheshes is that by all brachos we always have a psicha me'ena chasima. Ata kodesh hakel hakodesh, ata chonen chonen hadas, hashivenu harotze b'shuva. So by Avdallah also you have to be maschil me'ena chasima. The Rishonim write that mavdil, when you're mavdil b'yom tov that falls out of Motzai Shabbos, at the psicha you say I'm mavdil ben kodesh l'chol, but chasima I'm mavdil ben kodesh l'kodesh, right? Obviously the way this Gemara paskins. But what they add is that some of the chasima you should add in ben kedushas Shabbos l'kedushas yom tov ivdalta, b'mishabech kodesh baruch hu as being the one who's mavdil between multiple types of kedusha as well, between Kedusha Shabbos and Kedusha Yom Tov as well. Okay, Adron Lach Kol Shoch, and Mr. Shem, tomorrow we'll start the second parashah.